We'd like to welcome you to our service for May 31st, 2020. We trust that in God's providence, you'll be encouraged as we see the day of the Lord approaching, and that you'll be stimulated to love and to good deeds. Our call to worship is taken from John chapter 4. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." Our first hymn is taken, hymn number 372, "What a Wonderful Savior." Christ has for sin atonement made, what a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed, the price is paid, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. I praise him for the cleansing blood. What a wonderful Savior that reconciled my soul to God. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He cleansed my heart from all its sin. What a wonderful Savior. And now he reigns and rules therein. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He gives me overcoming power. What a wonderful Savior. And triumph in each trying hour. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Our next hymn is 466. What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Hymn number 466. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. 318. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. This my glad commemoration, that till now I've safely come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, take and seal it for thy courts above. Our salutation is taken from Matthew 5. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Our reading from the law is, the first portion is the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let us pray. Our Father and God, as we meditate upon this passage of Scripture, we understand that you call us to a very high ethical standard. We know, Father, that only by the power of your Holy Spirit are we able to approximate and to achieve this. We thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ did come that we might have life, and that because he finished his work at the cross and ascended into heaven, you sent your Holy Spirit to empower us, to comfort us, to convict us of sin, to lead us into truth, that we may learn to exalt Christ. We ask, Lord, that truly we would be those who would pursue righteousness, that we would be merciful. We ask that our hearts be pure. And Father, we ask that if the time comes and we are indeed persecuted, that we would be faithful to our calling. We thank you for these things in Christ's name. Amen. Also from Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, we have our assurance. Jesus Christ said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Our hymn of response, hymn number 273, Jesus Paid It All. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I will wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow." Let us pray. Once again, Father, we come into your presence and we praise you and thank you that you tell us to come boldly with our prayers and petitions, and to make our requests known unto you. We trust, Lord, that when we come before you, that we would have praise upon our lips. Praise because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise because you are pleased to use your Spirit to conform us to the image of your Son. Praise because you are pleased that we would be your ambassadors and that you would trust us to proclaim your truth in a dark world. We thank you and praise you for your servants who are scattered about the world proclaiming your truth. We thank you that indeed the Church of Jesus Christ is worldwide and that you have your faithful servants in every nation under the sun. We ask that this day that you would give your servants rest and peace, and that they would know that Jesus Christ has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. We ask that we ourselves would be diligent to intercede one for the other, that we would be diligent to intercede for our neighbors, our families, those in authority over us. We know, Lord, that you are in heaven and we are upon earth, and that you are the one who orders all things after the counsel of your own will. But we ask, Lord, that we would understand our responsibilities and that we are responsible to be priests, that we are responsible to act like your children, that men and women would know that we serve you. And we ask that that service would be done in gladness and that we would enter into your courts with praise. We thank you for these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture reading today and our sermon comes from Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Last week, looking at Psalm 1, we saw that the Psalms have to do with the righteous and the wicked, that being the introductory psalm. This is the second psalm, and it too refers to the content of the Psalter. The content of the Psalter has to do with God's King, the Messiah. This psalm begins with a question, and the question has to do with the description of the hatred of human nature against God. Why do the heathens rage and the people plot a vain thing? The nations are made up of people, and the people are busy plotting. This psalm is referenced in Acts chapter 4, where the disciples have been taken in to be admonished, and then they were let go and they reported to their fellow servants, and they referenced this psalm. The nations and the people plot against God. That plotting is vain. The psalmist continues to further identify the plotters. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. This is not a rash thing. This is something that is thought through. It is as though the kings of the earth and the rulers are waging war. We have an example of this in the book of Exodus when Pharaoh sought to destroy the male population of the children of Israel, and Moses' mother made a basket and put her son in the Nile, but that was a response to Pharaoh's desire to destroy the male progeny of the families of Israel. Also, you have Herod, who plotted to destroy Jesus Christ as he sent his men into Bethlehem to slay all the 2-year-old and under. The kings and the rulers take counsel together. We need to consider this as we think of ourselves as citizens. We are citizens of heaven, pilgrims and sojourners here upon earth. We don't belong here, we're ambassadors. And as believers, whether we live here in the United States or we live in North Korea or we live in Afghanistan or whatever nation you choose to use, our position as pilgrims and sojourners is the same, and our citizenship is the same. And therefore, we need to understand that whatever government we are under is ultimately opposed to the government that we are to serve. And this opposition of the nations and the kings of the earth and the rulers is directed specifically against the Lord and His anointed. His anointed would be His Son, Jesus Christ. And they are saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. You may recall that Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor, I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke of Jesus Christ is very easy for the child of God who lives by faith. But that same yoke is a great burden to those who reject Him and are opposed to Him. And the wicked, the nations of the earth, the rulers of the earth, seek to break those bonds. Let's consider what those bonds are. We are familiar with God the Creator and what He has created. And He has created certain things to be. He has created male and female, and they are to be one flesh. He has created the cycles of the seasons, and He has created all of nature. He has created the process of seed bearing fruit, and that fruit bearing seed, which then is planted and bears more fruit. He has created that men are to domesticate the animals, have dominion over all of creation. And men have abused that. And many of the problems we have today are because of man's abuse of what God has created. But there's another law. There is the nature that we Psalm 19 speaks of, the heavens declare the glory of God. And then there is that law that Psalm 19 also speaks of, the law of the Lord. And that law gives us specific things that we are required to do. We are to worship God. We are not to take his name in vain. We are not to murder. We are not to commit adultery. We are not to bear false witness. And we are not to covet. And I suggest to you that if we look at the commandment not to covet, that the whole advertising industry is built on generating covetousness. The kings of the earth, the rulers, want to break their bonds, the bonds of the Lord and his anointed. And covetousness is the opposite of contentment. And we as believers in Jesus Christ are to be content in whatever state we find ourselves. The nations rage and the people plot a vain thing. This is vanity. In the second section of this psalm, we understand why it's vanity. He who sits in the heavens will laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. God sits. He does not rise. He does not respond to the plotting of the nations and the rulers of the earth, but he sits and he laughs. If you were to read the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll understand that everything that this earth has to offer is vanity. Everything is vanity if the one who is involved only thinks of under the sun, that which is of this earth. The writer Ecclesiastes ends with, "The end of the matter is, fear God, keep his commandments, for God is going to judge." Those who rage and plot against God, who take counsel and say they wish to break the bonds that God has placed us in, are foolish, for they forget or they ignore that one day they will stand before the Almighty God. The God who sits in heaven and holds the nations and the rulers in contempt has already set his king. His king is already enthroned. The nations propose to throw off the bonds of God, but God has already placed his son as king. Therefore, the planning and the plotting of the nations is vanity. And at some point, God will speak to the nations, the kings of the earth, and the rulers in wrath. And he will distress them. He will cause them trouble in his deep displeasure. Their planning and their desire to throw off the yoke is a rejection of the king that he has established. The third portion of the psalm is another speaker, and the other speaker is the Son himself, the one who is the king who sits on that holy hill. "I will declare the decree." The Son is proclaiming the decree of the Lord. Because it's the Lord who has said to the Son, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you." The Son is divine. He is eternally the Son. He has always been the Son. There is no beginning and no end to this relationship. And because the Son is the one who is the Anointed One, and He is the one who sits upon the Holy Hill, He is to ask of the Father, and the Father will give the nations for His inheritance, and the ends of the earth as His possession. Matthew 28, we are told at the very end of Matthew that Jesus says to His disciples, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." This is the nations. These are the possessions that Jesus possesses as King. He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. But in this decree, Jesus, quoting the Father, says that the Father told the Son, "You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel." Those who reject God's Son, those who reject God's King, will be crushed. As you read the New Testament, you'll know that Jesus Christ, when He comes again, is coming as judge, judge of all the earth. And when He comes, He will come in that making that judgment. And death and Hades will be cast into the abyss. And those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast to the abyss. This is the prerogative and the role of the King that is already established on the holy hill of Zion. But these kings and the judges of the earth are going to be addressed in this psalm, and they are going to be addressed with an exhortation. Therefore, be wise, wisdom. We learn that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 8 speaks about wisdom shouting out in the streets. And Jesus is called wisdom in the New Testament. Be wise. Those who are raging, those who have set themselves against the King that the Lord has anointed, need to be wise. They need to be instructed. The scriptures are called in Hebrew Torah. The word Torah means instruction, direction. It means to be guided. These kings and these rulers need to be instructed. And what they ought to do is they ought to serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Paul addresses human government in Romans chapter 13, and there are two specific items that human government is to do. The first is the human government is to praise those and reward those who do well. The second is that they are to be the sword of the wrath of God and punish those who do ill. And they are to do this with fear, and they are to rejoice with trembling. The creature, when the creature is before the Creator, ought always to be trembling. When you read the scriptures and a man is having a vision like Daniel, Daniel's response to his vision Isaiah's response to the vision that he had in Isaiah 6 was to say, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." And Daniel, when he prayed and interceded, he not only confessed the sin of the people, but he confessed his own sin. And Paul, when he first becomes a believer, says that he's the least of the apostles. Later on in his ministry, he says he's the least of all saints. And at the end of his life, he says he's the chief of sinners. Serving the Lord, rejoicing with trembling, rejoicing that you are God's child, rejoicing that you are no longer under condemnation, rejoicing that you are no longer sitting under the wrath of God. But you tremble because you are a creature and He is the Creator. And these kings and these judges are told to kiss the Son, to acknowledge His kingship, to acknowledge His authority. You may be familiar with the practice of entering into an audience with a king or with a baron, even, that you go and you make a bow and you kiss their ring. Acknowledging authority and acknowledging your necessity to obey. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Acknowledging and obeying the Anointed One is to avoid the wrath of God. And it only takes but a little of God's wrath. Nebuchadnezzar had to heat the furnace 7 times hotter when he threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire. But God does not need to heat up his wrath. It's but a little. His wrath is kindled but little. Obedience. Rather than rage and plotting a vain thing against the Lord and against his anointed, and taking counsel against the Lord and his anointed, we need to obey. We need to submit. We need to understand that God has ruled and continues to rule in his creation and in his church. The psalm closes with a blessing. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. In this psalm, when you look at this psalm, you can look and see that the nations, the people, the kings of the earth, and the rulers are all involved, all the inhabitants of the earth. And all the inhabitants of the earth have a couple of things in common. Number one, they usually want to live by sight. And God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And even when Jesus walked upon the face of the earth and did those miracles that he did, he was not believed. He ultimately was hated and crucified. What are we talking about here? We're talking about faith. Trust in all those who put their trust in God need to trust His Word. It is His Word. And as Peter says, we don't see Him, but we love him. Paul writes, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. So this psalm is speaking of the God who rules, who is not seen, the Christ who is seated upon the throne, who will come again, and he will come as the conquering king. We, who here are members of the body of Christ, not only put our trust in him, but we have the privilege of telling others that this life and everything about this life, apart from Christ, is vanity and a chasing after wind. So let us speak to others that we may encourage them to come unto Jesus and to take upon his yoke, that they might learn of him, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that indeed Jesus Christ is seated upon his throne, and that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. We thank you that you have seated him there, and that he fulfilled the law, and in fulfilling the law, we who are in him are reckoned to be righteous. We ask that as we live and move and have our being here upon earth, that we would remember that those who rule over us are not interested in serving you, that they, according to your word, take counsel against you. And we ask that we would be those who would intercede for them, and that you would place a servant in their presence, a servant such as Joseph or Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they would be able to influence the kings of the earth and the judges. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the just judge, and that one day all things will be made right. We thank you for this hope and for this expectation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn to hymn number 345, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his wondering eye at mystery so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him give from yonder glorious throne. To thee be endless praise, for thou hast died. Be thou, O Lord, through endless days, adored and magnified. Crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.